The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty. Turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Okay, so that was genius. We're coming to you live from Culver City, California.
Sitting side by side.
Yes, in the
I
same
room. I love when this happens.
I'm really nervous, though, because I'm full on, like, ill.
Yeah, John, I got a text last night, and I'm just, you know, me yapping. And then, like, you're kind of silent, and then you just say, I feel very unwell. And I'm like, wait, what?
Hashtag mommy's dying.
Mommy is dying. I'll take you to Cedars. Just call me.
I mean, luckily, I'm staying right next to Cedars-Sinai, so I could technically walk there if I could walk. But about every 2 years, everyone, I get exhausted to a point where, and I know what you're thinking, I just got back from vacation. I didn't rest that much there. It never matters how much I'm actually rested. Every 2 years or so, I get so exhausted, I have to be hospitalized and put in an IV. And I'm right there, but I won't go until I start puking. But everything
Yeah, that's what you said to me last night. I'm like, oh, well, that's comforting.
Yeah, that's my gauge. Like, I'm
great.
I'm not giving up 4 hours of my life to have fluids if I'm not puking.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so last night, Tara was like, I will get you in. I can't sleep anyway. I'm in full wedding planning hell. I don't sleep. I have lots of time. I'll keep my ringer on.
I said that.
Yeah, like, I'll keep my ringer on. And if you need something in the middle of the night, I got a guy.
Can do it. Yeah, I've been in wedding planning mode/hell. It is a lot of work on top of our work. And
you need minions.
Well, you know, my mom came in and she's been here for a week. And it's been amazing.
Has she been really helpful getting really mommy about things?
Oh, no. She's so good with this stuff because she's so helpful because she'll just, like, she's a mom. So she organizes everything. It's just so easy with her. And I realize when I'm doing it, like, papers are flying. I can't find this. I can't find my emails. My mom has all these little folders that she made for me. So everything is, like, been so easy this week because my mom's been here. And she was supposed to leave last Friday, but I guilted mommy into staying to help with wedding planning. You know, I was just like, do you really have to go? And she's like, Tara, don't make me feel guilty. I need to get back to South Carolina. And I'm like, okay.
I need my banana bike.
Okay, mom. And somehow I did guilt her into that. So we've been doing, I mean, there's so much to do. You pick out furniture. So you work with, like, rental companies and you pick out furniture and then the catering and picking everything for welcome parties and rehearsal dinners and lighting. And
finding an ancient Torah to read out.
I know so much about wedding planning now and, like, what goes into weddings and the ins and outs that I feel like I could, you know, start my own company. It could be me and you,
no,
Tara and Johnny,
I want no
throw
parts
a wedding.
I want no parts of that. I mean, I will officiate one. I'll become ordained.
Right.
I could be a rabbi. But, yeah, your phone's ringing. See now I can see these things.
Yes. I don't know. It's probably.
It's no one. It's no one interesting. Oh, cookies.
Cookies.
Do you need choice go away cookies for the guests?
I need all of it. There's so much. I
can't even imagine the stress of it. That's why I went to City Hall. I was like, my life is a circus. I can't have a circus wedding. So
right.
I went to City Hall.
Well,
we all know how well that turned out for me.
Man. I'll plan your next wedding.
Good. I mean, if there is one.
God. Yeah, someone's out there for you.
Somewhere out there.
Oh, my God. I loved, what was the name of that movie?
An American Tale starring Fievel Maskowitz.
Oh, my God, I loved him. I had the little stuffed animal.
I think we all did, his little red tunic and blue pants.
Yeah,
If I could be a mouse, I'd choose to be Fievel. It's weird sitting in the same room with you doing a podcast because I'm so used to staring at a wall and just imagining what
your face
is looking
like. Yeah, now we're just staring at each other.
Yeah, it's weird. And your lips are real glossy and you're very healthy and happy.
Thank you.
You know, despite not sleeping or eating or having a normal social life. I had a talk with Lena last night. Lena's my manager, everyone. And when I'm in LA, obviously Tara and I are doing, we'll get to it. We're doing pitch meetings for our late night program. But, you know, here's hoping, God willing, cross, cross, cross. But, you know, Lena and I have a lot of work to do. My whole team is pretty much in LA, which is strange because I despise coming out here.
I know. Johnny hates LA. He
talks
about it all the time. I just ignore him completely. Mommy He'll talk about it in meetings, and I just turn the other way and start talking over you.
Yeah, mommy hates it when you pair a denim cutoff and an UGG boot. Mommy does not like that, and that is an LA thing.
Nobody likes that. That was 10 years ago.
But still, it happened in LA.
10 years ago in LA when I was here, I totally would wear, like, the cutoff mini skirt, jean mini skirt with my UGGs. Oh, my God, mucklucks. I did have, like, two pairs of those for sure.
Yeah, but Lane and I were talking last night and talking about my future relationships and what's going to happen. And she's like, you really need to put yourself out there. And she's like,
yes, you do. That's what I've been saying.
Why don't we go to a gay bar? And I was like, Lena, I'm not going to meet him in a gay bar.
No.
No.
You would be awkward, I think.
I would be terribly awkward in a gay bar because, you know, there was a time when I was the queen of West Hollywood. The queen of West Hollywood. I essentially commandeered and owned the gay pride parade. I was the grand marshal.
Oh, boy. When Johnny gets real excited about something he did. Okay, go on.
The most fun part of it was that there was this whole side street. God, you know, I don't know which one it was. There was a side street off of that. What's that street in West Hollywood that everything is on?
Where? San Vicente.
San Vicente.
No, we have no idea. Moving on.
One of those streets. Anyway, the parade procession went down this one street.
Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
There you go.
You know, where the American Apparel and Rage and all those places are. So it went down there, but there was a side street, and there were all the protesters kind of corralled there. Uh-huh. And that was the most fun part, because they made the idiotic mistake of giving me a microphone so I could talk to the crowd from my float.
Oh, boy.
So I was, you know, cursing at the protesters as we went by them.
Good for you.
Because they had the whole God hates my people signs.
Okay.
And the F word, in fact, but I don't like that word. So God hates the F word. And, you know, I really cursed at them and it was fun. But the rest of it was like, how do you talk to your people? Like, how do you talk to your subjects as queen of West Hollywood? So all I could come up with was, where are we having brunch? Because it was like Sunday morning at like 9 o'clock and I was in full regalia on a float. Where's brunch? Okay, so I don't know where that story was going.
Where did we anyway, always get off track. You look very tired.
I'm not well at all.
I'm very unwell. I'll never forget that text.
Well, if I say sick, then it makes me sound real like Ebola-y, but that's not it.
No,
maybe it could be.
No, you're just under the weather. Okay, so we should let people know that we've been here together all week in LA doing enjoy the area.
Enjoy the area.
And we've been doing these pitch meetings, which is really fun because we show up and we match and we don't even try or call each other. In the past, some of you may notice that on air we always match and we would plan that. Now we don't plan that and we just show up in our first meeting in Forescreen.
Forescreen day one.
Cream the second day.
Yep, cream the second day.
And then black.
Also oversized coats and things. Black today.
Yep.
By accident.
So.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're a delight to be around. And anyone that takes a meeting with us, you know, I think we make their lives.
They scare them.
I think we make their lives better while scaring them.
Right.
I've been telling Tara the past couple weeks, like, some people, like in friendships and stuff, they like a little bit of abuse. They want you to have to work for it.
And I don't think so, but go on.
I think mommy believes it. So we basically go into these meetings and we're real fancy and very demure and perfect skin. I mean, Tara's had this like really great cheek highlighter on. It's good stuff.
It's Anastasia,
the eyebrow girl.
Yeah. Great highlighter right there.
It's real good. I mean, you were shining like 1,000 stars. But we go into these meetings and we make them work for it a little bit. So we kind of are a little bit like we do the song and dance about how we want a late night variety talk show thing. Basically, the talking would not be with guests. It would be us talking. So that's kind of a fun little hurdle to jump over.
I mean, we kind of came up with the idea from the podcast itself. So I think it would have to be like a little like blip into our every night of our friendship and what we do and then do fun.
Mommy hates it.
You know.
Skits. Yeah. Swimming.
Variety show.
Variety show. But we make them work for it a little bit. And then at a certain point in the meeting, like when it's not about us anymore and our people are talking to their people and it's a whole like LA-ish thing. So we basically huddle up and we leave everyone out of the conversation.
We start talking about, you know, just what's going on in our daily lives. Very frivolous.
We make them
meaningless
work for it. Like
things.
If you want us back in this meeting, come to us.
They've all been really great, though. But I think we're a lot when we walk in to a room together and start talking, and we finish each other's sentences, and you see them kind of glance back and forth at each other, and then sometimes so this last meeting, we were both, Johnny and I were both a little taken aback because we didn't know what to do, because we kind of did our spiel and then said what we thought and like gave ideas, and they just kind of were just staring at us, and Johnny was like, okay, you hate us? I'm not really sure what you're thinking. Should I do a tap dance? What do I do right now to make you talk?
Well,
I loved them.
I loved them, and they were definitely our favorite meeting. And the thing was, when people don't immediately react to us, we get a really hard time trying to read them back. Like, when they just kind of sit back and marvel in our pageantry and our loveliness but don't say anything, I feel the need to keep tap dancing and keep song and dancing them and telling stories.
Like me.
Like me. I will make you like me.
What can I do? But I think it's just because we talk a lot. We talk so fast. We finish each other's sentences that they don't. They're just like taking it in for a moment.
There's like, bah.
And they're like, what do I do?
But no, like, guys, we have been moving and shaking really hard. And we've actually, you know, we've aced all of our pitches. And we have more. So we have to keep it together for that. We can't give it all away to you guys.
It's not always 100% that this will happen, obviously. Right. But you know,
let's tell people about the process a little bit, just so you know, it's a weird thing to go into a pitch meeting and basically try and sell an idea. So we're trying to sell this idea that Tara and I have had to a production company, and then that production company will create the initial idea of the show in a pilot.
Make a format out of it.
Make a format, get like write it out, get it all of our ideas on paper, which of course we would help with.
Right.
And then that gets shopped to networks.
Networks.
And that's how shows end up working out.
Right. So yeah, we're in the very early stages of sort of finding the right production company that would fit with us best and see if this actually can happen. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
You never know.
We would love it.
We would like this.
We love entertaining people.
It would be fun. We are getting ready for another show of sorts, the dog show. Dublin is preparing for his major moment on screen. And
what's he doing? Is he just sitting with cucumbers on his eyes?
I've just been talking, yes, you know, spa day all day, just masks and pedicures, manicures. I just sit there with a brush and just brush his hair and then I just talk to him. Debbie, do you know what's going to be happening in the next few days? You're going to become a star. You're going to be a star.
What are we doing with Debbie? Like, I looked at so we get these production memos from NBC, and there's a lot of people, and it's all gibberish to me.
Right.
We just know a schedule, like, be ready at 10.
Right. But we're taking Dublin to the beach, and then we're taking him to his groomers.
Sharks. Okay, that's
And then great. We're going to lunch with him. We're doing a whole day in the life of, like...
Are we eating dog food?
You know, Dublin, he's a star. We are not. As much as you dislike California, it is a great place for
dogs.
You know, every restaurant you go to, they put out a cute little bowl and, you know, it has bones on it. And would you like a treat, Dubby? And so Dublin's very spoiled here in Los Angeles. And the thing I'm most worried about for sure is taking him to the beach because he is a wild man. So he loves rolling in the sand and his snout. He keeps trying to eat the sand. He goes so far out in the water. Mommy's like, Dubby, you're going to get eaten by a shark.
Yeah, and you're obviously not swimming out to gather him.
No. I mean, there was one time, though, in South Carolina where we went out and he just kept going. And I'm like, I've never seen a dog do this. What dog is just going to swim and keep swimming up against the waves and everything? And I was like so scared and I went after him.
I see.
And then Debbie was in trouble. Debbie did not go to the beach for at least a week.
Auntie Johnny will not. I can't. Like, I'll have a panic attack if he swims.
I know, but you...
I know he's a swimming dog and all, and he loves it.
But you will not put your toe in an ocean.
No, it's certainly not the Pacific. I know there are just as many sharks in the Atlantic and
still,
the Caribbean.
But great
still,
white scares you.
That great white migration up and down the Pacific coast. It's real terrifying. Dubby should not be messing with that. I really am excited about the groomer. Because Choma loves the groomer. Hashtag hates it.
Yeah, no, same here. Dublin really does not want his tail touched ever. We've
now,
talked about this
do?
Before.
Yeah.
He puts his tail so far underneath his legs and then just starts wiggling his butt backwards. And If someone goes to touch his tail or butt, he just starts running in circles. So it should be interesting.
Poor Debbie. And Debbie's so big, guys. Like, he's a big horse. Dog. He's a horse.
Yeah, so, I have a pony.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to see how we... Because these dogs, when we work on the National Dog Show, these dogs that we do our opening, like, on camera...
Are very well trained.
Are super well trained. I mean, Tara could walk that huge, like, yeah. Irish wolfhound.
Yeah, I can barely walk Dublin in a straight line.
Yeah, I mean, Debbie's big, but he's super well-behaved. But Tara just, you know... 100% believes he's the worst and has the most horrible behavioral problems.
I got a bow tie for him for the wedding.
Oh,
he looks so cute. It's a blue bow tie that he'll wear, and it has like a little white collar. So I'm very excited about that. He'll walk down the aisle.
Am I walking him?
No.
Or is he walking by himself?
No, he's not walking. Definitely not walking by himself. Our friend Deb, who's in the wedding party, her husband, Jason, loves Dublin, Uncle Jason, and, like, will babysit Debbie for me. And so he's going to walk Dublin down the aisle. Dublin's been very bad this last week. Well, so his sleeping habits have changed. So usually he gets into bed, gets down at the end of the bed, and sprawls out, okay? And I have no problem with it because my toes don't barely, I, like, feel his fur. That's it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, 6'1" Todd, like,
feels everything.
Is like falling off the bed and has his knees up to his chest.
As he should.
But Debbie usually will like sleep through the morning and wake up. But once he wakes up, he has his process of waking you up is like he's a madman. Kisses and
ruining
and, you know, swatting of the paw to get you up. But the last week, he's been getting up at like 12 midnight and then at like 4 to go downstairs to go to the bathroom.
Does he have a doggy door?
No.
Paper.
I mean, he's a horse.
Yeah.
You know, so he has to go outside. So Todd, you know, I hear Todd the other night. He goes, "I hate this dog," and then because I sleep through everything. I don't even know that this is happening. That he's waking up at 12 or 4. But the other night, I just heard Todd go, "Oh, I hate this dog."
You are a great sleeper.
I do.
It's one of your greatest gifts.
Anything.
Yeah, I mean, as once you're down, and as long as you're not having a night terror, you're a fabulous sleeper. I'm excited to spend the day with Debbie. Now, this dog show—it's a new thing. There's part of it that, you know, it's the Beverly Hills Dog Show, so it's very LA, very Hollywood. So there's actually a red carpet.
There's a red carpet for it.
We got a list of celebs, and guys, I used to read, you know, the Us Weekly because I loved the worst dressed people every week. I loved the People magazine, Hottest Bachelors. I mean, there are certain things to love about these tabloids, but I stopped reading them when they started printing about me. Yeah, so I stopped reading. So I have no idea who anyone is. And we got this list of celebrities that we're supposed to talk with at the dog show because they're coming.
Right.
And I have no idea who they are. Do you know who they are?
I do know some of them, but I think we need to do, you know, our homework and make sure we're prepared for, you know, a list of questions to grill these people on at the Beverly Hills Dog Show. I mean, it's...
We're going to...
Journalism at its best.
Journalism at its best. We're really good at interviewing celebrities.
I don't think we are.
No, in these pitch meetings, like, the guys, a lot of the late night talk shows will have celebrities on, and it isn't so much celebrities that the hosts just love, it's people that are promoting something. So Adele has a new album, so she does the whole circuit of the shows. It's really rare that you get a night show, talk show host that will just pick people that they love and have them on, which is something Tara and I would do and we would love to do. But being force-fed a celebrity is kind of a tough thing because you don't know what to ask about their new film or their album.
Could you see me and you on a couch just interviewing?
Uh-uh.
No. We would be either way too excited for who the guest was or just like...
We would turn into ourselves.
We would not know what to do, yeah.
Grilled cheese and tomato soup again?
What are you having?
Mommy loves it.
Mommy loves it.
Yeah, but, you know, when we come back, we're going to talk more about Los Angeles. We'll talk about, you know, future plans
and
why
various...
I was late today.
Yeah, Windexing the lobby.
For sure. Be right back.
On NBC's Sports World, the Jerry Cuccia Randy Stevens heavyweight fight, US-USSR women's platform diving, and high-speed NASCAR racing, Sunday.
Yeah. Any woman, girl, any woman.
Okay, so we're back.
Yeah.
What should we talk about first?
Well, one thing, like, I felt like in the first half I was really down about Los Angeles. And, you know, in general, L.A. is just really laid back. And I know there's a lot of big stuff that happens out here. But, you know, it isn't for me. Like, when you walk into a restaurant and they're just like, hey.
I just want to just point out that, you know, we're talking California, Los Angeles compared to Delaware. Yeah. I mean, last time I was in Delaware, I just don't remember, you know,
but it's
the hustle and bustle of the Delaware streets.
There's no hustle and bustle. It's just almost like a personal, like the ease that people talk to you with. It's almost like everyone's been your best friend for years, and that drives me nuts. Like, hey, you look like you'd like the crispy chicken, you know? I know I'd like the crispy chicken.
I mean, but maybe you just like East Coast people,
yeah.
Which I do too.
I like the anger that, you know,
yeah.
Really.
I like an accent.
Filters through the East Coast.
But it's a friendly anger.
Yeah.
It's nice. Okay, go
but
on.
But anyway, I poo-poo on L.A. a lot. But there are some great things I do love out here. You can eat really well. It's like the salad bowl of the nation.
Right.
Great
healthy
veggies. Health.
Which I struggle with because being full-time L.A. now, I miss New York so much just for...
What, the hot dog bodegas?
No, the restaurants. The restaurants are so good in New York. And not that they aren't here, but like... There are not that many, like, amazing Italian restaurants. Like, yeah. New York, every street, you get a good Italian spot.
Il Cantinore.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, I do love an Il
Lartuzzi.
Cantinore.
Lartuzzi. Okay, go on.
Carbone.
Oof.
Yes. Okay, so I wanted to, like, throw out a you know, a
he wanted to say something nice about Los Angeles because he was feeling guilty and mean.
I do, because I'm sitting here in the room with you and you're staring at me and you're like, well, I live here. Thanks for pooing all over my town. So the shopping is really outrageous.
Enjoy the area.
And I enjoy the area. I have these, like, normal haunts that I always go to. And I love looking for a deal, and there are lots of exclusives that happen out here. So I really have done a good shop.
I know. You love a good shop.
And the people that are shopping also are real interesting to people watching.
Oh, L.A. has, like, some... When I had an apartment in Beverly Hills, and I realized I did not like living in Beverly Hills. I like Santa Monica. Give me the hippy-dippy beach area.
Cut-offs and Uggs.
Yep. Just everyone's real laid back. Malibu, Santa Monica. You, as much as you think it's, like... too over the top here, like, it is nice to wake up and, you know, moms are taking their kids to school where I live and they're in their pajamas still and it's just relaxed. But there used to be this woman who would dress up in red, white, and blue, like, what, like, really, really baby short biker shorts, star spangled like leotard, her hair in like pigtails, and she would like power walk in this outfit. And then she would sometimes just wave at you. Like, she was so happy. She would just give you a wave. And she was always in the neighborhood in her, like, star-spangled outfit.
But was she living there, or was she a homeless that just had that one outfit?
No, I think, to be honest, I have no idea. She was not homeless, but I think she liked that outfit and liked to really show off her body.
Yeah.
And she was also very friendly with the wave. But, you know, just like the whole getup was real weird. I just remember leaving Beverly Hills and thinking, oh, good.
Yeah, Beverly Hills is really intense.
Not for me.
It's like when you're younger and you go into a store that seems like it'd be too expensive for you, and everyone kind of looks down their nose.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills feels like that to me. Which is why I don't like Beverly Hills, but I do like shopping in it. There was a fun lady that was real drunk shopping yesterday in one of the stores. Like, she was drinking out of a paper cup, but you could just smell it coming out of her.
Oh, no.
And, you know, mommy loves that. Mommy loves somebody who holds court in a fancy shop. So, yeah, there's that. But what else happened in the last week? So we celebrated.
Did you listen or watch Big Little Lies?
No.
Is that the name of it, Jason? Big Little Lies or Little Big Lies?
Little Big
Lies. Little Big
Lies.
Lies,
starring Reese Witherspoon,
and
Alexander Skarsgård is in it, right?
Nicole Kidman is in it. It is so good.
Okay, what, like, sell it to me in three words.
Oh, you know I'm terrible at this.
Jewel, just sell it to me.
But
it's
based in California, and it's all moms that have, you know, careers, but then it's based around their kids, too, and the school that they all go to. And Reese's character is so funny.
Wait, you gave me a line.
Like
that she said the
yeah,
other day.
And I can't remember it exactly.
Something about tending
but
to her.
Yeah, tending to her grudges is like one of her favorite things to do. Like she tends to them like little. Like I can't remember the exact line, but I was laughing so hard. But she cracks me up. I think she's so good in it. You would love it.
I mean, I saw it advertised, and it looked like something I'd be into because Nicole Kidman, she's kind of mommy's muse because she is very cold. And, yeah, so I saw that. I was watching Girls, and I watch Girls begrudgingly because I feel like anyone that has any association with New York should watch it so they kind of understand what young girls are going through in New York. But it's so unrealistic, and Lena Dunham drives me crazy for some reason in that show. I think she's a genius for writing it and doing right. the whole thing, but just her character just makes me insane. I really watch it for Adam Driver, the main man character. Uh-huh. I don't know if you watch it, but he is so hot.
You know what we should do next season? We should watch, like, The Bachelorette or The Bachelor.
No.
So then we can talk about it on the podcast. Because I flipped channels the other night and saw it, and I am not watching the season. And it was very interesting.
So many people tell me to watch that, but I can't.
I don't even know the guy's name, but he was in this turtleneck, and they were in Finland, and his turtleneck just, it was a lot. And there's so many things I think we could comment on when we would watch The Bachelor.
But I'd feel so bad about it because I already feel bad that The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are like top television because it just makes America seem bad. I mean, there are lots
really
of things that make America seem bad.
But those,
those relationships.
Those relationships. Maybe we should put you on The Bachelor.
No, because I don't think looking for love in all the wrong places. Yeah. I think.
Yeah, you don't got time for that.
Yeah, I don't have time. I mean, I like money. I like working. So if they can pay me properly. But there was a gay version on the Lance from NSYNC actually hosted it this season, or the first season this year, I mean. And yeah, I'm just not into dating on television.
Yeah,
aside from Flavor.
I wouldn't let you do that.
Remember that Flavor Flav show on VH1?
Yes.
That was good. I liked that. So we had a lot of birthdays last week.
I know.
So,
your
both
dad.
Your parents and my dad.
Yeah, my parents, the 21st and 24th. So it was nice. I didn't see my dad. He was working, obviously, but I sent him a surprise cake. Mm. And then he came in for mom's birthday and we surprised her and we took her to Mastro's on the ocean.
That was a beautiful picture.
Oh my goodness. It's our favorite place.
What do you eat there?
Okay, so Lloyd always is the best. He will get us a table. And he got this table that was just, as you saw from the picture, perfect view. And Todd and I go there a lot, and we just sit at the bar. Mm-hmm. And then I get the, like, they have a tuna tartare that is ridiculous. And, but their sides, they have, like, the big family-style sides that are so good, like mac and cheese. And they're, a lot of times the problem is when we go to the bar, we sit there, and the bread plate comes out, and it's filled with, like, pretzel bread and
oh, I love pretzel bread.
Cheese bread, and I eat all of that, and then they come in there like, what do you want to eat? And I'm like, I'll just have another glass of Chardonnay and another bread basket. So my friend Billy and I, this is a funny story, we used to do this all the time when we would go out, when I was back in my single days. We'd go to this place in New York, Catch. You've been there, yeah. And you didn't love it.
Well, it's just really sceney.
Right.
And mommy doesn't like a scene. Mommy right. likes an old standard.
And we wouldn't go there and sit where Johnny and I went once, but we didn't go to that area. We would go to the little bar area where there's, you know, music,
where the
and it's like
are.
A little relaxed and has a bar.
When you were still single.
When I was still
ready
single.
To mingle.
Mingle. And we would just like hang out there. So it usually was like every night, meet you at Catch at 6. And they would come out with this, they have the most amazing bread. And when you get a table, you're really lucky. But, you know, I would assume they would hope that you would order dinner. But Billy and I would have, like, a glass of wine, and then the bread would come out. We just would keep asking them to refill the pretzel bread. And by the time, you know, we did that, and they'd be like, again, what would you like for dinner? Nope, just more pretzel bread. And they'd always, like, they probably knew us after years of doing that, that these two girls just come in for the pretzel bread and a seat. But I just didn't want to stand in my heels all night. I'll do anything for a seat.
You know where we ate the other night out here was I had a dinner meeting because I'm fancy like that. We ate at Citizen. It's
I've never been.
It was really delicious.
I think it's sceney, right?
It's sceney. I didn't choose it. But I went there and they had – and it was the day after the Oscars. Oh, we have to talk about the Oscars. We have so much to get through. So the it's shared plates, which I don't really feature because I'm really competitive.
I love a shared plate. You know me. Well, I like
to try
pick.
Everything.
Yes.
But for me, like, I like to eat it all, and I feel like if I have to share it, they're going to have some advantage. They're going to have a better piece or advantage. I'm just too competitive for share plates. But it was really delicious. The biscuits were outrageous. It was a Southern chef, so there was grits with shrimp, and it just really excited me for the wedding.
Yes.
But there was that. Birthdays, my dad, we went as a family to a seafood restaurant. Like, it doesn't have a big fancy brand name, but we all got to sit together with my mom, my brother, his girlfriend, and it was her birthday as well, on the same day as my dad's. So we just ate and were merry and had a glass of wine, and it was just really lovely.
It's nice. Speaking of seafood,
yeah,
this reminded me of, you probably don't know, I don't know if I've told you this story. It's kind of sad and lonely for probably a 16, 17, and 18, 19-year-old child. So when I was touring, you know how I get stuck on certain, like, food groups?
Let
that...
me stop you right here. Okay. If this ends in tuna in a can, I don't want to hear it. There's nothing sadder than you eating cat food.
No, no, no. It's going to entail Red Lobster and...
the cheesy bread.
So wait a minute. So I went through this phase where I was really into seafood. I felt like I was being healthy. I wanted grilled fish all the time. I wanted crab legs. The whole thing lasted for at least a year and a half. So it was really, you know, one of those things I got stuck on.
Yeah.
So much so that I got
mustard.
Mercury poisoning. Yes, no, I did. Like, so my hands, like, had this yellow tint to them at some point, and that's how we found out, because my aunt is like, why do you have jaundice? Like,
oh, my God.
And I'm like, no, but I've been having terrible headaches, and went to the doctor and realized I was eating way too much fish. But during this time where I was hooked on seafood,
because you go hard.
Yeah, when I
was. You have a belief, you go hard.
I go hard.
Big or go home.
Yes. Yeah. So this is very sad. So, like, on our days off, or even sometimes before, I'd go for lunch. But on our days off, I would go alone and just find the local Red Lobster in the cities we were touring.
Yep.
And just sit down and eat my
fish.
You know, my crab legs. And I don't know why it was Red Lobster, only Red Lobster. I mean, we stayed in nice places in beautiful cities.
But I'm sure they, like, San Francisco,
nope,
probably had some wharf restaurant,
yeah,
that
no,
was
no,
just
no.
gorgeous.
Just downstairs to the concierge. Where's the Red Lobster? Please?
I will drive out of San Francisco proper and go to a suburb.
And I really wonder, because they give you those bibs for certain things.
Yeah.
I wonder if I wore a bib. I can't truly remember, but that would just be icing on the cake if I just, like, sitting there alone as a 17-year-old at a Red Lobster just with my little bib on and my crab legs. Yeah, it's very sad and lonely looking back. At the time, though, I was very happy.
You were holding court.
And I would do crossword puzzles. I was so weird.
You know,
I became obsessed with crossword puzzles because I was winning them all. Like, I would do, like, New York Times. I would do USA Today every single day.
Could you do the Sunday Times?
But they
Times?
Would last. No, I never won that one. But, they, you know, sometimes they were hard, so it would last all day, and I'd still be, like, at the arena, like, trying to fill it out.
Yeah.
But I remember many times a Red Lobster just me, my crossword puzzle, and a crab leg. So, guys, don't put your kids in figure skating.
Yeah. It ends badly. It ends with private dinners at Red Lobster and mercury poisoning. You know, on a sad...
Mommy hates it.
Mommy hates that. Mommy hates mercury poisoning. We couldn't afford fish in Mommy's days, even for Lent.
You didn't have to worry about poisoning.
My mommy always uses the term, well, I grew up Catholic, not with a lot, and we had lots of brothers and sisters and cousins, so we ate rot gut. So it was that's her favorite term, rot gut fish for Lent.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So I get that, too. My mom, you know, I grew up Catholic, and especially her mother, they had, like, so many kids in the family,
yeah,
and their story was they, like, used the bacon grease for, like, the whole week for, like, potatoes,
yeah,
and for, like, just to, like, spread it out to give things taste.
Get out, Gary! It's so nasty, the whole Lent fish thing. I mean, Lent's almost upon us, but I have a sad story, but also a really empowering one, and I hope it helps somebody. So it's been a long time since I've actually been divorced, but something really cool happened this week. It's Maslenitsa. It's like the Russian coming of spring celebration, and you eat pancakes. They're basically crepes. They're
I love how it's, like, coming of spring, and in Russia it's probably 20 below and snowing
pretty much.
Welcome spring.
Welcome to spring. Here we're going to create silk flowers and plant them in the snow. But yeah, they celebrate by eating and making these blinchiki, these little crepes. And I, for the first time since you know, the failure of my marriage, I made blinchiki. And it was really positive. I got up one morning. And I was like, I'm making a stack of them. And this is what's going to be. So I felt very empowered and very strong that I moved on and did something that I used to enjoy doing and then stopped doing when things went south.
I liked those in Sochi.
Yeah, they're delicious. Mm-hmm. They're skinny, and who doesn't like a pancake?
Yep.
So you went and talked to another gay man.
I did. I know. Johnny just crisscrossed his legs. He is fidgeting.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I like to be the gayest thing in your life, but you went to talk to Ross.
I did. Ross Matthews.
Ross the intern.
And I had met him back in the day in, like, 2002. We did something.
Ross is really sweet, guys. I'm not competitive with
him. I actually invited him to the podcast maybe one day.
Well, that's ridiculous because we don't like anyone to come to the podcast.
But maybe Ross. He was really funny. So his podcast is like...
that's what you did with him, a podcast.
Yes, much bigger than ours. Like, you go into the studio, he has like four people there. It's like, has like, it's also, it goes on YouTube or iTunes. And so they have like cameras and...
Oh, geez.
Yes, and like
I'm really
decor.
Glad we don't have cameras.
And although you would love decor, I'm sure.
I love decor.
So anyway, I went on that and he's really funny because he's a big skating fan. And he just had me laughing the entire time, but he's super sweet. So I had a good time with him yesterday.
What else? Was there any behind the scenes? Did he carry a purse for you or anything?
No, I like walked into this live. It's like a live podcast as well. So here we are in our little studio, you know.
You know who I like best is Howard Stern. He was my favorite interview, I think, that I've ever done.
I've never met him.
I think he would make you uncomfortable.
Probably. I'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah. You would do the Todd Kapp
chatter. Could you imagine me in an interview with him?
No, because he'll ask you things that are, you know, really uncomfortable.
Right.
And he'll ask you sexual things. And, you know, now that you're going to be a married woman, I think you would just giggle. Yeah. Oh, my God, Howard. But the fun part was they told me essentially when I arrived at the studio that morning, they said, well, if Howard thinks you're being real with him and he loves you, your interview can last for like a normal 10-minute period.
If not, he kicks you out?
If not, he'll kick you out.
Oh, wow.
But I stayed for a solid 40 minutes. So I did really well.
Oh, so he liked you.
He liked me. But I really liked him.
You are so pale.
I'm so ill.
You are so pale.
But I'm powering
let's
through.
Let's do Fan Corner.
Fan Corner.
That always makes Johnny feel better.
Let's go to Fan Corner.
Okay, we got a big smile.
But here's the thing. You guys really didn't bring it this week. There was very little to choose from. There were only three entries that were really worth
last
it this week.
Last week we had a lot, but you only liked three this week.
Yeah, I only liked three.
I really liked the first one, Caitlin Connolly, 47. She actually showed us a picture.
She reached out to us on private message on Instagram, which is a very bold move, guys.
Which we don't mind. Okay, so she did Mommy Hates It Post-its, and it was really funny. So it was like, Mommy hates it when you're late, Mommy hates this, Mommy hates that.
Here, I'm going to pull it up right now so we can actually read them.
I kind of like that. So it's probably, she's sticking them all over her kids. Oh, okay, here it is. Mommy hates it when you don't iron, Mommy hates it when you're late, and Mommy hates it with a couple lines underneath it when you're lazy.
Yeah. you really do get the essence there of Mommy, and I'm really thankful that Caitlin went there with
us. Yeah, I liked that. That was my favorite one, so I took that one. So go on.
Yeah, I mean, the next one that I liked was from Lauren Pat 15, who commented on one of our – actually, we've been really lax with posting things, but she was commenting on our preview for last week's podcast, and she wrote that she's a USA college student and she's studying in the UK, and she says that we're kind of like her home away from home.
Oh, that's sweet.
Home is where your heart is.
Hey, Lauren.
Hey, Lauren, we're happy to have your heart.
Then we had Nina.
Nina XINS, and she wrote to us on Twitter.
And she falls asleep to the podcast. But she stays awake for hours listening to us, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, she uses podcasts to sleep. That's how I read it. That's how I translated it in my head. She falls asleep listening to podcasts, but ours keeps her awake.
Oh, that's very nice. I mean, how?
Sorry.
Thank you.
We have really lusty tones to our voice that are really soothing, kind of like Sebastian. What was his name?
Sebastian, yeah. So I don't know if we talked about Sebastian, but
I'm sure we have.
Amanda, my girlfriend, and I, when we were living together, I found this sleeping app that would
talk to her,
talk us to sleep. And she would listen to it, I would listen to it, and now all my friends listen to it. And he had a very lusty,
He was Britishish, wasn't he?
Yes, and he had a accent, and he would just talk you to sleep. And we nicknamed him Sebastian.
Well, Sebastian came to Sochi, and yes. That was my first. Sochi was our first time staying in close proximity, so I could hear Sebastian at nighttime.
And mommy is
not a gifted sleeper because mommy's worried about packing lunch.
Right.
So mommy would just I would start my come down process. I'd shower, I'd be all clean. I'd turn on my little video of whatever I was going to watch that night for come down. And then I'd hear, "You are good and great.
You will be falling asleep soon.
Sleep will come to you like the gentleness of the waves of the Baltic Sea."
Hear the waves.
And mommy was strung out by Sebastian. I was like, is there a man in Tara and Lara's room? Who's talking her to sleep? Who's lullabying her?
I love Sebastian.
But Sebastian freaked me
out. Todd hates Sebastian. Sometimes I'm like, oh, do you want to put on Sebastian? No. Yeah. No.
Well, it's competition for Todd.
Please don't. okay, so I think that's it for today.
I think that's enough.
Before
we do get into our final rollout, though, Tara and I want to send our, heartfelt condolences and anger at the Philadelphia Jewish Cemetery desecration. It's a horrible thing, and we're really sorry for anybody that was affected by that. But, on that note, we really want to thank everybody for listening. There are now 2.9 trillion listeners.
Whoa, billion,
I don't know
trillion.
If you guys, I don't know
saw
if you guys
jump.
Knew about that. But there was a big jump. I think they just released our podcast in Mongolia as well as South India.
Oh, I see.
And that's where we got new listeners.
Got some followers there.
Yeah. But as always, connect with us on social media at Tara and Johnny, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara Lipinski. And be a part of Fan Corner. Do better than you did this week. I really
liked the first. I love the post-it notes.
They're sweet, but I mean, we can't have a conversation about you guys. The podcast was great.
Okay. Yeah.
We do love that.
But
keep doing that. But also give us some creative things to talk about. Yeah. Let's talk about My Little Pony.
Johnny really enjoys this, guys. So please.
Please make
do this.
Me happy. I'm unwell, and all I need is a candy strip.
Johnny loves Fan Corner. Okay. Yeah.
So, everyone, we love you so much, and we're so appreciative, and we thank you from the bottoms of our heart. But until next time,
bye.
We moved to sunny L.A. All of show business is out there, Max.
No, I cannot. You keep bringing it up, but I don't want to live in a city where the only cultural advantage is that you can make a right turn on a red light.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.